Hey guys, welcome to the Tech People Podcast. My name is Ken Coyne. I'm your host and founder, as well as head of technology at Office Talent. I believe at the heart of any success story are the people who made it happen. Diversity, creativity, and innovation, when nurtured in people, can lead to an unbeatable formula. I created this podcast to share the experiences of some truly inspirational leaders on their journey to success. Enjoy the show. Hey guys, welcome back to Tech People. As always, this is your host, Ken speaking. I'm delighted to have Jason Noble join us today. Jason is a recognized industry leader in customer success and has achieved the accolade of the Top 50 Customer Success Influencer and Strategist 2022, 2021, and 2020. On top of this, he's a podcaster like myself, where he co-hosts the very popular The Jason's Take On Show, which is a customer success collaboration that advances the thinking and practices of customer success professionals. So make sure you check it out if you want to learn more about the latest topics in this space. I recently read an excellent article on how to prove the value of customer success, which is based on a presentation given by Jason. Value is always a hot topic in terms of customer success. There are some fantastic initiatives out there to improve the customer journey, which are great for the business and customer. But what is that value? What are the challenges in proving value? What are some of the solutions and also pitfalls to avoid? These are some of the questions I pose to Jason as he talks me through the value of customer success. So without further ado, let's get Jason on the show. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you, Ken. Great to be here. Really excited to be on the podcast.
No, fantastic. Thank you. I'm really looking forward because I think it is a hot topic. Definitely. Absolutely. About how do you add value to customer success. And, I came across your article recently and I thought it was fantastic. And I thought it'd be great for my listeners to listen to and learn more about it from yourself. But before we go into that, maybe you could just maybe give us an introduction, talk about your journey to date.
Absolutely. Would love to. So I'm the VP of Global Customer Success at Vinly. I've spent the last, 25 years really helping organizations across multiple industry sectors to be more customer-centric. And a key part of that is delivering value to our customers. I started my days way, way back as an accountant, but with the focus on understanding what customer value was. And I moved into tech soon after that and worked then in a number of kind of exec leadership roles across, pretty much all of the traditional post-sales customer-facing functions of the business. So support, service delivery, project management, customer experience, customer service, and then probably over the last kind of 10 or so years, as customer success came to be its own thing, it was kind of a natural evolution into that. I've been really privileged to work on both the customer and partner side of the equation, both with large global enterprise brands. I spent a good number of years with Sony, with Reed, and with SunGard, and also with more niche technology startups. And that's where I've spent probably the last 7 or 8 years. My own philosophy is really all about how do you bring the voice of the customer back into the business and to the leadership table and make the relevant decisions based on what the customer is saying. And I always say sometimes it can be a lonely place to be because you are representing the customers back into the business. In my spare time, like yourself, Ken, I co-host a podcast series. Myself and my partner, Jason Whitehead, set up the Jason's Take On podcast series, looking at customer growth, customer success, and all the challenges and developments there in the world of customers and customer success. And I've had some amazing guests on over the kind of the last 4 years with us. Just on the Vinly side of things, so Vinly is a US headquartered technology startup in the world of connected cars. I've been there coming up for 4 years now. The business is about 8-9 years old, and we're all about driving value and insights around global mobility, moving people for automotive companies, insurers using mobility data. So there's a lot of overlap there with customer success in itself. So that's a little bit about me. Apologies for the text.
No, that's quite very, very interesting. Actually, similar background to myself in terms of accounting and moving into tech and now more recently into CX. Which, it's interesting you mentioned there that you've been like at this customer success space for the last 10 years. But really, customer success, really, I think it's only kind of starting to become really popular in the last few years, really. So it sounds like you're well ahead of the curve.
It's interesting because I think it's probably been around since 2009, 2010, maybe a little bit before. And I think organizations now are beginning to understand the need for it. I think there are still some challenges about what it is, why we're doing it, what it means to the business, the ultimate, what it brings, you know, how it can impact enterprise value. And I think you've seen over time, I mean, my roles of some, although some of them may be different in title, they're all around delivering value to the customers. And I think we've seen kind of a maturing in terms of what the roles are. So the named customer success has become something that has become more well understood, I think, or more understood better. It's a commonly accepted term now, whereas maybe 10 years ago it was less so. But what we've been doing is still the same.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's get into it. I mean, proving the value of customer success, which is a hot topic, like we said, at the moment. But there's many, many challenges, as you know. Maybe, I know you've done a presentation and there's an article on this, but maybe for the benefit of our audience, could you like summarize some of the challenges of the customer?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, one of the biggest challenges is actually understanding what do we mean by value? There's a lot of talk about value, about outcomes, but what do we mean by it? Not both for our customers and for us as the people delivering the services and the value. And I think it sounds on paper, value, everyone knows what it means. It's a straightforward concept, well understood, but it can have many different meanings and can be very different to different people. It can mean something as simple as like price. If you like, what's the value of my house? It could mean the value of the benefit you get something. So yes, I have a house. I could tell you how much, what the price is, but the value I get from living there is very different to what the price is and far more difficult to put any sort of number on or how do you measure it? But it could also mean the worth of something where you hear people talking about value for money or even money for value. And I think it gets even more confusing when we talk about customer value. We're delivering services or products that provide customer value. What do we mean by that? And you need now to be a lot more precise so that everyone, our customers, our partners and us understand exactly what it means and what to expect. And I think the biggest challenges today is that definition of it. We don't know what it is, and it's very difficult for a lot of people to measure and be able to articulate properly. And I think that's the biggest challenge. And then how do we measure it? What are some measurements? All follow on from that. So it's the understanding of what we mean by it.
Very interesting. And you mentioned, I think, like you said, how do you measure that? Because I think what I liked about the article was said that, you know, it's not measuring it just for the customer itself in terms of what the value means to them, but also how do you measure it internally to your organization and how do you manage that? So talk to us a bit further about, I mean, how do you measure it? I mean, it's good that you mentioned that, but so give us some ideas of how you think we should measure this.
Yeah, I mean, you raised a great point there. It is, you know, values two way. And I think that's really important to understand. And I like to think, you know, what we do, if we're looking at B2B SaaS and technology services, we're delivering products to our customers, but it's all about a partnership and value is really a two-way stream. And I think ultimately for me, what value is it's, I mean, customer value is the perception of a product or service that's worth, of what it's worth to our customers versus what the alternatives are worth. Mm. And those alternatives include perhaps doing nothing at all or doing something internal. And I think when we look at how do you measure it, that's where it comes really key, because it is, you know, we can talk about it, but what do we mean by measuring it? And I think the really simple way of measuring it is to look at kind of benefits and costs. You know, what are the benefits received from what we're delivering minus the cost of those benefits? And that is the value. And then the challenge is how do you put monetary value on both the benefits side and on the cost side? And I think that's really, really key to do. There's a number of measures and you know, you'll be aware of all of these, but some of the big ones for me are time to value. You know, so how quickly do we get to those value moments? You can look at things like that measure sentiment around customer satisfaction, net promoter score. Mm-hmm. And then your gross and net revenue retention give you some indications as well. And these three kind of big ones for me, and I like them because the time to value is, it's measuring how quickly does the customer get to where they need to get to and having triggers in place that show us when they've got to that value. And as part of that, you've got to define what they're expecting to get and what that value moment is. So the time measured to how long it takes to get to that value moment. And I like, you know, you typically measure how long does it take to launch something, but time to value is a critical one that inevitably is longer than time to launch. But the key is how do we reduce that gap between time to value and time to launch And you can use these as part of your sales pitch. Now, have your sales teams talking about, we're there, we're going to bring that gap down so you get value from the service really quickly. The NPS and customer satisfaction, for me, these are all about advocacy, customer sentiment. How well are we doing from the customer point of view? I'm a big fan of NPS from a relationship level metric. I like doing surveys a couple of points in a year to all my customer contacts, you know, asking that question, would you recommend us, or how likely it is? Not necessarily to friends or family. I always find that a challenge because would I get my dad or my mom, would I want them to recommend B2B services I'm providing? Perhaps not, but it's more to business colleagues and partners. And I think what the insight there is, you can, you know, I like asking my customers, are we delivering value to you? How else can we deliver value? So you don't just ask that, would you recommend us, but ask follow-up question, how else can we deliver more value to you? And it starts opening up those conversations and allows you to look deeper into how well you're delivering value, the why behind the score. You know, why has someone left you that? If someone says no, they're not going to recommend you, why wouldn't they? And what do they mean by that? And then for CSAT, for me, that's more transactional. I like that typically with kind of engagements with maybe your customer service team, your customer support team. But again, it's, are we delivering value? Has this worked for you? How satisfied are you with the value that's being delivered? So I think you can get some really key insights from those. Quite often it's more contextual rather than just defining what the value is, but you get some really, really key information. The revenue retention rates for me are the big ones. And as we've all seen, there's been a lot more attention paid to these more recently. You know, how much of our recurring revenue from customers is retained over time? And I think that's the key thing, because if our customers are getting value from us, those figures will grow. They'll bring more business to us. They will renew. And upsell becomes, it's not a sales transaction. It's, if this is going to deliver more value to the customer, then of course they'll buy it from you. And of course they'll renew. So like I say, I think those ones are really three big ones for me. What you've got to do, I mean, the key for all of this is defining what the value is for the customer and then how you track against that with these. One other one that I like to do is more, it's measuring, kind of defining what your value moments are with your customer and then measuring how many of those you've achieved. So you kind of got a ratio of value outcomes. So you define what your values are up front, what the value moments are, and then you define or agree when you meet them and how many you've met and what percentage you've met. And it gives you an idea of value delivery. And it's an interesting one to be able to share with customers, that one.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you define the value points. Maybe, I don't know, could you talk through, I mean, is it got that going back to your example there about the house and the price and, you know, what value you get from living in that house? I suppose that's what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think the value points, I mean, you can imagine in the transaction of buying a house, you know, buying a house is when you've actually purchased it, signed all the paperwork, that could be one value moment. There's a piece of value in that. I've done that. There could be the moving into the house. That's another value moment. There could be then when you've made that house your home. That's another value moment. And I think the key thing is to define what these should be and where they are in your customer journey and how those map out. And once you've defined what the value moments would be or should be, you can then work with your customers and right up front say, this is our customer journey. At this point, 6 weeks after engaging with us, you're going to get this. This is the first value moment. This is what it is. This is the second one. 6 weeks later, we'll then do, you know, the idea of, I like to think of, instead of your typical EBR or QBR, it's more a customer value review, you know, doing periodic conversations with your customers. Are we delivering the value you expected? And you build these into your customer journey as value moments and focusing on the value. And I think you change the conversations with your customers. You know, you talk about value, you've defined what that value is, and it's important to do that. And I think the key thing is you want to do it consistently. So it's not just doing it the very first point you interact with the customer or when you launch or that first value moment, but keep doing it. You know, and you find over time as your products and services grow and evolve, the value you're delivering will be. There are external factors that change and value will deliver from there as well. We've also got to consider the messaging we've got. You know, what's the messaging around value to our customers? What can we use in case studies? But then internally, you know, how do we sell value? You know, as part of our sales propositions, what are we selling to our customers? How does that translate to value?
Interesting. And do you find it, you know, in your experience, has it been difficult to get the feedback from customers?
Yes. And I think it continues to be. I think it can be a fluffy subject to talk about, which is why I think you've got to be very prescriptive to try and define what you mean by it. But I think you've got to start those conversations. And it may be that the first ones are difficult to do, but over time, I think they become easier both for us as a partner, us as customer success professionals, but also for have those conversations with our customers, you know, to say, are we delivering value for you? The first time you ask it, if you've not talked about it before, can be quite difficult for people to answer. But the more you talk about it with them, explain some examples of what you mean, it becomes quite routine for them. And I think those conversations become more valuable and more powerful over time.
And, you know, because, you know, I get a lot of, I must say I do get a lot of surveys in, which are great, but it's nearly getting to a point now where I'm getting too many of them. I mean, any advice you'd recommend for how do you get that balance between sending too many surveys out versus too little?
Yeah, it's survey fatigue is there for all of us. And we all get so many on a weekly, daily basis even, and particularly on the B2C side of it. So for consumer services, we all use, you know, broadband, phone, internet, TV. And the frustration with a lot of those is whatever you fill in, you never hear any feedback back. So I think the key thing is don't survey too often. Do it at periodic points so that people know when it's, your customers know when it's coming. And don't do it and don't respond. You know, make sure it's a feedback loop. Have those conversations so that you, the people that you're sending out these surveys to understand why you're doing it and what the details mean back to you and what happens with them. So that engagement is really critical. I think if you do that engagement and you actually do have those conversations, it can really help. It's doing that at scale that's the challenge. So I think you've got to be selective as well. And you've got to make sure that you can do something with the data you're getting back. And once you can demonstrate to the customers that you're listening, these are the actions you're taking, I think customers become a lot more receptive to doing it. But it's difficult, like you say, and we all get too many of them. And when you get surveys that say, it'll only take 15 minutes to respond, it just turns you off straight away. So keep it really simple, which is why I like, you know, for me, it's literally one or two questions.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting. And you know, we back there, that's very much focused on measuring customer success. And within your article, which I really liked too, was how do you measure our success? Could you maybe just expand a bit for the audience on that one?
Absolutely. I think ultimately what customer success is doing is bringing, it's enabling success in our business, in our customers, driving more value from them. Ultimately, that drives value for us. That increases potentially revenue for us. It could reduce costs. It could increase our visibility in the marketplace. But it's all around driving our enterprise value, particularly when you're in the world of startups. You know, how do we show our investors, how do we show the marketplace that what we're doing is driving value, there's revenues coming in, and there's the growth there. So I think that internal reflections to what value means to us is very, very critical. And ultimately, it shows the value in the business that we've got, you know, back at things like shareholder value, return on investments for new products, market share, market growth, incremental profit and loss, all of these things help add to our own enterprise value.
And Jason, on that one, which I mean, I think it's fantastic that you go back to basics, because I mean, if you go to boardroom, of course, they're going to come back to you and what are the financials on this? You mentioned also, which I thought was quite interesting, about how, you know, this delivering this customer success can come, you know, unsustainable over long term. In your article, as in the cost of the business and versus the benefit. Could you expand a bit further on that one?
Yeah, I can. I think you've got to be very conscious about the concept of over-delivering. And it's easy to do that, and it's easy to fall into a trap of just doing what the customers need. You've got to get that balance right. And I think it's really important not to ignore that cost of delivery to us. And you've got to make sure that it's the right level of cost. You know, as I said, it's easy to over deliver and it's easy to consistently go above and beyond for every customer, but there's a cost to doing that. And that cannot be sustainable in the long run. So what you need to be able to do is create consistent, repeatable playbooks around delivering value to your customers, to the different segments. There are always some reasons to over deliver, to retain certain customers, but I'm not talking about those particular instances. This is about how do we have a consistent method of delivering value at the right cost to us, so it's still bringing in the value for us? And I think if you do fall into the trap of consistently over-delivering when there's no specific reason or need to, it can be a downward spiral. It really can. You've got to change the focus. Why are you over-delivering? What are the gaps? Are there product challenges that we're working around? Are we not communicating with our customers right? Start focus on fixing the reasons why we're over delivering, and then you can sustain long-term value delivery. But you've got to do it consistently and not at cost that becomes an issue for you.
Yeah, because it comes down to money in the end, doesn't it?
Really? Absolutely.
That's obviously one of the major pitfalls to avoid. I mean, is there any other major pitfalls you would, you know, in your experience, advise to avoid based on what you've gone through?
I think, I mean, as you said earlier on, you know, it's two-sided. We've talked then about the value to us, but that value to your customers is also critical. And you've got to make sure that you're consistently being responsive to your customers and changing in the marketplace and external factors for your customers. Just look at the economic situation we've got now. It's a very challenging market. Businesses are having to make decisions on which tools, services they use. Be conscious of that and support your customers on decisions they make there. It may be that they can't work with you now, but do the right thing for your customer, build those relationships, and you keep those kind of doors open for future. So I think you've got to be very conscious of your customers and how the market and external factors are impacting your customer. And for me, a lot of that is that's ultimately what being customer-centric is about. It's being responsive to changes that your customer's going through. And I think that's critical. The other pitfall that we said right at the beginning is make sure you know what value means to your customer. Why has the customer engaged with us? Why are they getting services from us? And don't lose sight of that. Make sure that you're demonstrating that value delivery back to your customer. And it's easy to forget about that. And I think we've got to remind ourselves consistently that we need to do that.
I think that was a great point you mentioned also, that to make sure you document that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, ideally, I want to document what are the outcomes, what values are our customers as far up front as I can get. Either do it as part of the sales process, ideally, in those first engagements, or we should be selling value as part of our propositions. We should know what value is. And then you can reconfirm that as part of your first implementation conversations, your first post-sales engagement. These are the value points. This is what value means. Clarify it with your customer.
Brilliant. Great, Jason. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Really fantastic insights. Well, maybe I could just ask one last question. I mean, what does the future hold for you?
Great question, Kate. And thank you again for having me on. It's been a great conversation, something I really love talking about. I think in terms of value and value delivery, I think we're going to see, as I said, more and more and more focus on this in the future. As I said, with the current kind of economic situation, we're going to see even a bigger focus on that. The value being delivered, the value needed is going to come under more and more scrutiny. And I think we're really going to have to start working on defining and redefining what value means. And I think we're going to see a really big focus on this. I think the, you know, customer success is going through some changes. That what value is and where it fits into customer success is a critical part of that. And we're absolutely going to see a lot more of these conversations, a lot more initiatives around this. And it's really exciting to see this. You know, we talk about it in the Jason's Take On podcast. We're talking about this a lot. We've got some great guests on with us. And I think it's just being part of these conversations and helping customer success kind of get to that next level, work around, you know, what are the challenges we've got today and how do we continue to deliver value through this to our customers. And I think we're going to see a really, you know, for myself, for lots of others in this field, a really big focus on this in 2023.
Fantastic, Jason. Listen, thank you so much for your time today.
Ken, thank you, sir. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure.